Welcome to Seeds Church Podcast. Well, it's December, which means Christmas is right around the corner. And today we are in our series, Jesus, Light of the World. So wherever you're listening, we hope you're encouraged by this week's message.
This morning's reading comes from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to all those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. My name is Jonathan, privileged to be part of the team. I don't know how you approach Christmas. Sometimes I find that Christmas becomes a bit like last Christmas or the Christmas before, and it's sort of an also-ran Christmas. I've heard the stories, I've sung the carols, I've heard the narrative of Jesus before, and it sort of gets a little bit hackneyed, and it sort of loses its impetus over time. Is that for you too? Sometimes it's a bit like that. I do wonder if the Apostle John, when he wrote that first chapter of the Gospel of John, which we just heard read out to us from Sarah, was particularly keen for us to see and hear and understand the story of Christmas from a very different perspective. And I wonder if he wanted us to see and to know different things. What we don't find in that first chapter of John is any angels. There's no wise men, there's no shepherds, there's no manger, there's no star, no gold, frankincense or myrrh, no Herod, no journey, no census, no Christmas trees, no pageants, no full shopping centres, of course. But what we do find here is a theological meaning of what Christmas is about. And it tells us of a time that is before time. And it lets us into God's behind-the-scene thoughts. And so what we find here in this first few verses of John's Gospel is the wider meaning, much wider meaning of Christmas. And once you step out of the narrative, it brings to us the eternal perspective. I love, and I've said this before, I love that first chapter of John's Gospel. And what John tells us is really the most wonderful, it tells in a way that is the most wonderful piece of writing. It's poetry, it's song, it's absolutely beautiful. And it begins to pad out the beginning, the existence, or the start of all things. And I'm sure that I've gone on record before by saying if I only ever had this one chapter for the rest of my life, that would be enough for me to dwell on and think about. So this morning I want to explore just for a few minutes our theme, which is Jesus, light of the world. And I want to do it from those first 14 verses of John's Gospel. So if you've got your Bibles, I encourage you, let's open them up to that. If you've got your smartphone or not so smart, whatever it is. I know it's a big weekend and I know it's shaping up to be one of the busiest weeks of the year. But I also know this, that we desperately need to focus on what matters. And John's Gospel calls us into that place. And it gives us an eternal perspective for us to know what really matters. To be reminded again of the eternal significance of the birth of Jesus and what that means for us. All of us need to be here today to be reminded of this. I wonder what your answer would be if you were asked, what is the greatest moment in human history? Would it be the invention of the wheel, the invention of fire, the discovery of coffee, the inauguration of Netflix, I don't know, the splitting of the atom? But according to St. John, it's no surprise for me to say this, according to St. John, it is the entrance of Jesus into the realm of humanity, the biggest event that has been. It is the coming into human history of one of the Lord Jesus Christ in the person, of course, of Jesus. And as we read John chapter 1, we start to realize the enormity of the scale of what God is up to in human history. So our theme, as I've said, is Jesus, light of the world. And when we come across this word light in the New Testament, we need to understand just a couple of little brief things. It is a multi-layered word. And in essence, it picks up the fullness, the gamut, the wholeness of what God is doing in human history and what God is doing in the world. And in particular, it starts to sum up what Jesus is about, what the work of Jesus. And later on in the Gospel of John, we find Jesus himself referring to him own self as the light, and you can read that for yourself in John chapter 8. So the first thing that we need to grapple with is that the light that John is referring to here is not a new thing. Now look with me at verse 1 of chapter 1 of John. Three words. The first three words say something: in the beginning. I don't know if that reminds you of anything. You might have heard that before somewhere else. If you don't, let me tell you, Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning. Now, immediately, the first readers who would have been reading this first part of John's Gospel would go, hang on a minute, I've heard that before somewhere else. Does that mean they would go, are we meant to cast our minds way back to the beginning? Does that mean that God has started from there? Does that mean that we, when we come to the light, we are meant to think of the beginning of time? And the answer is, of course, yes. In fact, what we are meant to understand is that the light that that is coming is not a new thing. It is not a new revelation. We're meant to grasp, just in those first three words, the significance that the light is eternal. It has, and it always will be. And even before physical light spread across the world, God's light was in the world. Developing this even further, we're meant to see that Jesus, not as a Johnny come lately, but part of what God has been up to since the beginning, before the beginning of time. So, when John writes these first three words, and he inaugurates this chapter, he's wanting us to know that the Christmas story started before time began. And it's not Jesus who is on his own in this, but that is Jesus doing what God has always been doing throughout time. And we now know this as the work of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, around and outside of our known universe. Now, there's a significant thing for here for us to understand. What God is up to And what we led into as we just grasped these first few words of John's gospel is not some scattered, random cosmic actions, but a plan that involves the whole of time, all of creation, and all people. When John writes this first part of his book on the life of Jesus, he's urging us. He's saying, think bigger, think wider, and do the best that you can to grapple with God's work on earth, absolutely, but in the whole cosmos. This is the eternal Jesus that is being introduced. Yes, of course he came as a baby in a manger, but don't stop there. So here's my second point. And the second thing we learn from this chapter as we just get into it is that when we see Jesus, we see the full embodiment of the life of God, of the light of God. Verses 2 and 3 of this chapter tell us not only that the Word, which we understand to be Jesus, not only was the Word with God in the beginning, but all things were made through him. Jesus brings life as well as light. So Jesus is more than just a baby born to two Jewish parents. And John is trying to help us grapple with the Jesus who is the King of the cosmos. Jesus who is the light bringer for the whole world. Not only in the sense of the sun and the moon, but in the resolution for the problem of all the things that ail us, the problem of evil, the problem of sin in the world. As with everything good, it's summed up in this one word, light. So everything rotten and terrible and degrading is summed up in the one word, darkness. And what's more, this light is so true, this light is so pure, that nothing can overtake it. Nothing can dim it, nothing can cause it a shadow. And I direct your attention to verse 5. Verse 5 has been very helpful for so many people. And maybe it's a word for you this morning. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you feel darkness today, then I urge you to open the door to the light, because the promise of verse 5 stands strong. It stands real. It's applicable even for us at this very moment. But notice here, it continues on, notice here that Jesus is not the agent of God who is operating the world, but Jesus is God who we can see and feel and touch and hear and engage with on this deep and most incredibly personal level. And John, when he's writing this, John doesn't want us to confuse any other light or any other light-emitting device. In verse 6, he mentions John the Baptist, whom he clearly and without doubt makes sure we know that John the Baptist is not the light. And in verse 9, we find this the most amazing statement. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. This is as close to a birth narrative that we get when we read John's gospel. But what he wants you to know is that there's only one true light, and that you shouldn't get distracted by any other lights, any other lesser lights. John the Baptist is not the light. In fact, nothing apart from Jesus is the light. Don't get confused. The irony is that this happens most of all at Christmas time. When we should be focusing on the one and only true light, we get waylaid by many other lights. The physical paradox is that we actually put up so many Christmas lights, but we miss the true spiritual light, don't we? In fact, our cities have so much light we can hardly see any stars, let alone the star. How did that happen? We are distracted by the light of stuff, by the light of recognition, the light of assets, the light of taking easy, the light of our relationships, the light of our sport and our work. Those other lights aren't bad, but they're only dim lights in comparison to the true light that enters into the world. And they'll never provide for us for what we hunger for most of all. It's no wonder we live in this age of anxiety where things we cling to, the things that we hope that will bring us meaning and hope, actually let us down. And what we're left with is nothing. That's why John says to us in this beautiful, poetic, but very complicated passage that he writes, that Jesus is the true light. Focus on the true light. Now, the third thing that comes from this Christmas passage is the amazing heart of God. Not only did God send light into our dark world, God gave and gives us the chance to continue to walk in the light. I want to read to you verse 9 and down to 13 again, just so that you hear it again. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become the children of God. Born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. Now, there's a lot that's been said here, and about those who do not choose the light or do not choose Jesus. And of course, the Bible picks this up in other spots. But for here in verse 12, we are told the incredible benefit of those who do and who embrace the light. I'm sure you heard it. It said, those who embrace the light, those who embrace Jesus, they have a new status. They are called the children of God. Now, you need hours and hours to unpack what the fullness of what that means to be, it means to be as a child of God. But let me say, this is a gift to us on a scale that we can't imagine. And we'll never fully understand until we're actually standing in the throne room before God. Virtually everything about your existence and your life excludes you from coming anywhere near the presence of God. And if you read the Old Testament, you see again and again and again the barriers that are put in place so that you don't get too close to God. Why? Because you're unholy and God is holy. Why? Because you actually will die if you get too close to God. And yet here in this passage, it says you embrace the light, you embrace Jesus. You are called what? You are called children of God, able to access the very presence of God. And somehow, graciously, wonderfully, phenomenally, in Jesus coming to earth and us embracing him, we are granted this privilege to become the children of God. What the most beautiful Christmas present we could ever open is that we would become this person that has the full rights and privileges of being in a direct child-parent relationship with the King of all kings. This has profound implications for you and I. It changes the way we view ourselves, our value, our purpose, our identity. It alters our self-worth, the sense we have about the future security. It assures us of an inheritance that is eternal. And it means that all those promises in the Bible of God's love and God's care and concern, all that God says about his loved children are applicable for us. My friends, I encourage you, step into the light. Bring your inheritance as a child of God into reality. Lastly, here it is. Lastly, we need to understand that God's plans will not be diverted. They will go ahead no matter what. Nothing is going to stop what God is going to do and achieve in this world. Verse 14a makes this really clear in the absolute. It says, verse 14a, it says, the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh, that is, became a human, and made his dwelling amongst us. A literal translation of that is God moved into your suburb and built a house next to yours, is what it says. Then verse 14 part B gives a personal first-hand witness to this fact. We have seen his glory, writes the Apostle John. The glory of the one and only Son, he's talking about Jesus, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In fact, God would not be God unless this was true. Nothing is going to stop the light taking ground from the darkness. There's a line in a song that I've long thought about that resonates deeply with me. It says, "The shadow proves the sunshine." I love how the darkness will never be overcome. I love how the light reveals truth and that nothing can be hidden. I love how God graciously and wonderfully works in the world. In every sense of the word, my friends, and in the widest way possible, in the biggest sense that we could understand, Jesus is the light of the world. Let me lead you in prayer. We thank you, Jesus, for your light that shines in a way in which we can understand. We thank you that you existed and you brought that light into our very finite world. We thank you that you continue to show light even in the issues that we have, even in our own darkness. That your light brightens our dark places and brings us hope. May we walk into your light and walk into our inheritance as your children and understand what that means. In your name we pray. Amen.